This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
And welcome to this afternoon's Q&A program. Well, with this particular segment, we commence with this question. Mufti Saab, this husband wants to know, is it permissible for him to embrace his wife and kiss his wife whilst fasting?
He's a hot husband, you know, and the weather in South Africa, we're entering winter now. So my brother, you must do all your gymnastics and everything at night, my brother. So leave all the hanky-panky business for the night and not during the day whilst you are fasting. Okay, let's give you the answer. One day, in time of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a sheikh, elderly person, like my age, like, you know, 60, 65, whatever, so came to the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I touch my wife, embrace her? So fa'adhina lahu. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission. And second one, then the old man, the youngster came. The young person, maybe 18, 20 years old. So, you know, like our youngsters today, sharpshooters. So, you know, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I touch my wife, embrace her? Falam ya'adhan lahu. No, not permitted. So if it's today, people would say, how can you have two different verdicts regarding the same issue? So you're simple, Simon, you're a naive person. Don't you see this person is newly married? If we give him permission, he'll go right through. He'll cause big problems for himself and his wife. So it was based on wisdom. So let's give you the breakdown of it and understand the issues properly. Best is you don't touch, you don't embrace nothing. That is the excellent best to do. Second one, you're going to shop, you're going to job, and now you're going to live your home, you give your wife a peck on the neck. You see what you call that? A peck on the neck. I see Lucky's laughing here. So you give her a peck on the neck and you go, so that will be permissible. So you must remember that. But third one, you want to give a French kiss and German kiss and a Swazi kiss and all that, where you must remember that the saliva is going to be transferred. So remember, lip to lip and Lucky lips, all that, the fast breaks, not permissible, all that. So you stay away from those things there. Another issue here, very, very important, you must remember this. Our people, they make all mix up and confusion. One term is fidya. Fidya, as I explained, is for people who are chronically ill, perpetually ill, and so forth. They must pay 30 rand per fast, and they can pay the lump sum after Ramadan Mubarak commences. Or the person is so old and so forth, doesn't have energy, strength, so for him, fidya, $2 per day per fast. One is kafara. Kafara is during Ramadan. So Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday afternoon, so husband, wife say, now we both tired, let us relax and so forth. Then one start touching the other and so forth. And then they went right through A to Z. So in a case like that, remember, this is desecrating the sanctity of the month of Ramadan. So one qada will be that for the fast you broke, because they went and fulfilled conjugal rights. And then 60 fast consecutively after Eid you will have to keep. So that is kafara. Kafara means a penalty. And you must remember that fidya is a compensation. So always draw a distinction between the two. Our people confuse the two normally.
Mufti Sahib, when is Ramadan expected to commence in South Africa?
You know, this morning I was very, very astonished and surprised. One person told me in Cape Town, one masjid, they already, there must be others also, so in South Africa, but he gave like the place name. He said in Cape Town, they already announced tomorrow night, this one masjid, they starting Tarawih. They say we follow the scientific research and all that. We don't have to worry about moon and so forth. Whenever a person, a community, a country gives preference, you must remember to their worms, fancies and desires, and then they want to use science and all that. Remember, that's a very, very dangerous way to work. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's clear hadith in Bukhari Sharif regarding Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr and the months, sumu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yatihi. You start your fast after the sighting of the moon and so forth, and you make your Eid al-Fitr also with the sighting of the moon. moon. We can't be working with calculations and so forth and so on. So you can see with the virus, how many things are happening, this one and so many things. Since when their words are, you must binding upon us. So we reject that totally, you must remember. Second one, see some of the Arab countries. What a mockery. You call this tala'u bid-deen. There they passed, you must remember, in the newspapers, their TV, mass media, they told the people, tonight you must look for the moon. So the moon samis, they will look for the moon before the birth of the moon. Is that not a comedy of errors, a travesty of justice? So the birth of the moon is only tomorrow morning, but they must look for it tonight after sunset. So, I mean, crazy. All this happens because you must remember we never practice what Sharia taught us. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, and the hadith is in Tirmidhi, is authentic, and that's the only place in Tirmidhi Sharif where Imam Tirmidhi reports a hadith from Imam Muslim. Imam Muslim is his teacher, and Imam Muslim, remember, is the student of Imam Bukhari as well. But Imam Muslim is the teacher of Imam Tirmidhi. Only one hadith in Tirmidhi from Imam Muslim. Ahsu hilala sha'ban li Ramadan. You must work out, see the moon, calculate everything. 29 days, no moon, then automatically you go to 30, and thereafter is one. So work out, do everything properly for Sha'ban, then you don't have problem for Ramadan. But where they worry about this, now they're sitting with a problem. So you must remember, we reject all these things here. Third one, that what's going to happen, 90%, this is the way it looks like, that tomorrow night, we're speaking of Monday night, 80-90% that they will announce that in Makkah, Medina, Aqsa Mubarak, and many other countries, that the moon is sighted, and then Ramadan Mubarak will start, and that is Monday night, Taraweeh, and Tuesday first fast. That is what will happen most probably, according to what we see on the reports and so forth. And then for South Africa, tomorrow, we must scan the sky. It's 13 hours, 13 and a half hours, and so forth. So the chances are very, very slim for us to see the crescent, the new moon in South Africa. But we must make an effort and scan the sky. Then what will happen is the various ulama, they will announce and so forth. So we also will announce it, inshallah al-Aziz, tomorrow night. And whether you know whether the moon is sighted, not sighted. But most probably, inshallah, what will happen is it will not be sighted. Then Tuesday will be the 30th of Sha'ban. Then Tuesday night, you must remember, will be first Taraweeh, and Wednesday will be the beginning of Ramadan in South Africa. And these people who speak of scientific, and that Allah just put in my head now, so you must remember that, you know, our ulama and some of the professors, mashallah, every Monday send us things and so forth. According to them, that tomorrow night is very difficult to see the moon in 80-90% of the places in the whole world. Few places only is it really visible and so forth. So there, but in Cape Town or other places, they'll say, no, just start what you have to worry in. So once we make ittiba'i hawa, we start following our worms, fancies and desires, that is a path of ruin and destruction. May all, may Allah protect us all.
I mean, Mufti Saab, is it permissible for a father to force his daughter to get married to someone?
Not permissible that. You must remember that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith work both ways. You daughter, la nikaha illa bi waliyin. You must not get married except with the consent of your father and your paternal grandfather, your dada, or your uncle, your chacha, your kaka, or your brother. Brother means now, you know, person who's responsible, not some small youngster, 8-10 years old. So that is compulsory. And remember, the hadith is authentic, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, and so forth. And second one, so this hadith I gave you is authentic in Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi. Second one is a wonderful, beautiful hadith in Sunan Nasai. One day, the father, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, he forced his daughter to get married to so and so. So the nikah went through, everything. After the Africa, she, the lady, she went to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what happened. My father got me married, wa hiya kariha, and she disliked, you must remember, to get married to so and so. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam said, this nikah not valid, not right, and so forth, and not on. Look at the wisdom of that lady. Subhanallah. She said, okay, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will inform the ladies, this is their right, that their fathers cannot impose upon them, they must get married by force. You must marry this one, because they're rich, or our jat and all that. You know, Indians, we got the jat mentality, that he's a culvert, and he's a surti, and he's a mehman, and he's Urdu, and all these things here. So, you must marry him, and so forth. So, if both parties are happy, then the parents give him no problem. But to impose, and so forth, and, you know, to say you must do so, that's what we're speaking about. So she told the ladies that, see, in Islam they can't do that. But never mind, now we continue with this nikah and so forth, that I give permission, he gave permission, father give permission, and then the nikah will become valid, and so forth and so on. So to keep the honor of her father, she carried on. And to teach the ladies, she went to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Open Sunan Nasai, you will find the hadith there. So you fathers, never impose and compel your daughters, you must marry this one, that one, that's un-Islamic, that is your Indian tradition, custom, and the Lal Kitab you brought from India. India te awa, to Lal Kitab ye hate lava. So you must remember, when they came from India, they brought some red kitab with them, three-quarter fairy tales and nonsense in it.
Mufti Sahib, a millionaire husband, he's forcing his wife to apply for pension, and the sister wants to know, is this money going to be halal for her?
Totally haram for you. You must remember that the millionaire husband is his responsibility to pay for all your expenses. But you see, Almighty Allah has mentioned this in the Noble Quran, chapter 100, verse number 6, 7, 8. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. This human being is very, very ungrateful. Why is ungrateful? Almighty Allah gave the reason. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. Very, very ungrateful. And the reason, rationale, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. This human being, they love wealth, materialism, more and more. You got million, but the wife will ask him for 1,000 rand 500, become a big problem. So he'll say, no, go tell them you're a pensioner and do this, fill in everything. And you're false. Corruption is rife and rampant, so let us also become corrupt. So you must remember that two wrongs don't make a right. Totally haram for you to do that, unlawful in Islam.
Mufti Sahib, this caller is 75 years old, and she says that she's asthmatic and she missed her fast last year and she forgot how many. So what must she do? She says, must I pay fidya? And she says she accepts zakat.
So you must remember, sister, that we first need to know your condition. If you can keep qada, then qada is compulsory, but now there's no real days left. You must 5, 10, 20 fast. So after Ramadan, after Eid, you will have to keep the qada. That will be compulsory upon you. So remember, that is if you can keep qada. Even if you can't keep qada every day, so once a week, once a month, then qada will be compulsory upon you. So that's the first scenario. Second scenario, Kala Masi, will be that now you are asthmatic, you are so ill, you can't manage fasting, all that. Then remember, for the fast you must, Qadha will be compulsory. And that is 30 rand per day. So if you must 10 fast last year, so 300 rand. Then you're going to must again this year, so 900 rand. So you got money there. So with that money, you give it to the poor Muslim people, and that will be compulsory. That is only if you cannot manage fasting at all, nor this Ramadan, nor the other 11 months, then only is the fidya compulsory upon you. Third one, you don't remember how many qada there was, so you work on the maximum amount, and then you pay the fidya if you cannot manage the qada and you can't keep the qada at all.
Mufti Sahib, the dua Subhana Dil Mulki Wal Malakut, is this a sunnah dua?
You know, in our masajid today, people, they want to make it fancy like. So now you will see Tarawih time, Ramadan time, they will bring that board and put it right in front. So after every 4 rakats, people must read it. You, the Ummah, you must draw a distinction with what is sunnah, the action mubarak, the amal mubarak of the Master, alayhi salam, or the speech mubarak, the blessed command, teaching, preaching of the Master, alayhi salam. And remember, if we do that, Surah 3, verse 31, Fattabi'uni, follow me, Mustafa Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi salam, immaculately, yuhbibkumullah, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah, wa yaghfir lakum zunubakum, and Almighty Allah will forgive you your sins. So that is not a sunnah. Get that out of your head. It's not a sunnah. The Subhana Dil Mulki wal Malakut is permissible, but not sunnah. Allama Ibn Abidin Shami has written it very clearly. Permissible, but not sunnah. That's one. So if you look at our great, great ulama, when the 4 rakats after that they pause and so forth, so you must remember, then they used to read istighfar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. They used to read durood sharif, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Believe you me, if you read durood sharif, you read istighfar, the reward will be much, much greater compared to the Subhana Dil Mulki wal Malakut. And you, the trustees, honorable trustees, honorable ulama, I know your intention is very good, but to put those boards there and all that, actually, if you ask me, it even distracts the people in the first surf and so forth. So it's not a good idea, and it's not even sunnah. So therefore, I would not advise that type of practice. Whoever wants to read, let them read. You, the honorable imam, you should tell the people already that after 4 rakats, read istighfar, read durood sharif, read kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa. There's much, much more reward in that compared to that dua there. That is just some ulama suggested it, but because we're reading it for years, so now we start thinking it's sunnah. It's definitely not sunnah, but permissible.
Mufti Sahib, is it true that you must refrain from using the toilet at midnight as the jinn used the toilet at that time?
If you're going to wait and all that, you'll soil everything. You'll finish up. You must remember that. So anytime the urge comes, you just go. You don't have to look at your watch, whether it's 12 o'clock or 1 minute to 12 or 1 past 12 and that. Because otherwise, you'll make a big mess, and sometime you'll mess the passage and everything else, Allah forbid. So all this is Lal Kitab story again. Game made in India. So you must remember that. This is the Gam stories. Those of you who don't know Gam, our people, forefathers, 150, 160, 170 years ago, they came from the different villages in India, and they brought a lot of fairy tales with them. This is one of the fairy tales.
Mufti Sahib, this couple, they're living together where nikah has not been performed. Is their fasting going to be valid?
Every minute, every moment, Allah Ta'ala's curse is upon you. You're living in sin. And remember, you're committing zina, fornication. Both of you must be taken in public and lashed, 100 lashes. And that is Quran, chapter 24, Surah Nur, verse number 2. Fajlidu kulla wahidim min humamiyata jalda. So you must remember that. Why don't you get married today? So go to the Mawla. If both parties are Muslim, then if one party is Muslim, one is not Muslim, so the party is not Muslim, become Muslim. And you must remember, go today is Sunday, you just go to the mosque, any mosque where you are, and tell them, make our nikah. So we're living in sin here and all, make tawbah and so forth. What good will that fast be, that daytime you're fasting and every night and every day you're living in sin, every moment Allah's curse is upon you. So that's my advice, today go get perform nikah, and you can't today, then tomorrow you must do it before Ramadan starts. Remember that.
Mufti Sahib, this person wants to know if there is a dua to read for piles.
Remember the previous question, that don't become so disillusioned and disappointed. Almighty Allah teaches us, chapter 39, verse 53, La taqanatu min rahmatillah. Never become despondent in the mercy of Almighty Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Verily, Almighty Allah forgives all the sins. If you are really really sincere, then both of you will are Muslim, get married, one party Muslim, one non-Muslim, become Muslim, go perform the nikah and remember the marriage ceremony. And get married, mashallah, and thereafter, and now immediately start making tawbah and repenting sincerely to Almighty Allah. Allah Jalla Wala is there, the all forgiving. People who suffer from bawasir, that is piles and so forth. So remember, while we are on this issue here, let me explain one masla. Any medication that enters the back passage, people have piles, Allah protect us. So then you have to insert the supposed is male or female, your fast will be broken. So medication to the back passage will nullify and break the fast for male and female. And from the front passage, one lady asked today also, she says that, I don't know, during Wednesday, Thursday or so, she has an appointment by the gynecologist and this has to happen, this has to happen. So all you ladies must know that anything that goes through the front passage, your apparatus or whatever else, so you must remember, internal checkup that will nullify your fast for ladies. The front passage, remember, your fast will break and qada will be compulsory. Then you must remember, what should you read? You are suffering from the bawasir, from piles. Read the 3-4 duas in Quran. Number one, Surah Fatiha. Read 7 times and blow. Number two, read the dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. He was so ill, so sick. Almighty Allah Jalla Allah informs us that 25 prophets and messengers' names are mentioned in the noble Quran. And what should we do? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُمُ اقْتَدِهِ. So you must remember, you must follow in the footsteps of the prophets and the messengers. This is mentioned in chapter number 5, and that is, chapter number 6, Surah An'am, chapter number 6, and verse number 90, chapter 6, and verse 90, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهِ. Almighty Allah guided them, and you must follow in their footsteps. So chapter number 6 and verse 90. So which dua must you read? Chapter 21, verse 83. The dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu salam when he fell ill. أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الدُّرُّ. The calamity, the catastrophe has struck me. Anta arhamur rahimin. O Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. Read it abundantly. So Surah Fatiha, one. Second one, chapter 21, verse 83. Third one, read Surah, same chapter, Surah Anbiya, chapter 21, and verse 87. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. Because of the cancer, because of the piles, because of the AIDS, because of virus, what ever. So people are in so much worry, sorry, depression and so forth. So read Surah chapter 21 verse 87. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. Truly it is none worthy of worship but you, Ya Allah. Everlasting glory, perfection is only for you. I am from the wrongdoer. So for us, we are the sinners and the wrongdoers. Allah says, wa najjaynahu min al-gham. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala rescued Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, Anbiya Ma'asum, protected from all sins and vices. But Allah will protect me and you and rescue us as well. And then remember the quls, very good. قُلْ يَا الْكَافِرُونَ قُلْ وَاللَّهِ قُلْ فَلَقُلْ بِالنَّاسِ وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا وَشِفَى Ayatul Kursi. Read and blow on yourself. دَاوُوا مَرْضَاكُمْ بِصَدَقَى. Hadith in Abu Dawood Marasil. Give out charity also, mashallah, and Almighty Allah will give you complete cure. And for protection, the hadith in Abu Dawood and Sunan Nasai. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sayyi'il asqam. Oh, beloved Allah, I seek your protection. If I, it's individual. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sayyi'il asqam. From the dreaded diseases. Collectively, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min sayyil asqam. So Allah protect us all. Allah grant us siha afia. You mother, I'm addressing you. And you, Father, the greatest gift after Iman, Islam, Salat, tell your children you're making dua. Ya Allah, mere pyare awlad ko afiyat nasib farma. So use the word afiyah. Afiyah, one word, encyclopedic meaning. Health, wealth, honor, Iman, Islam, protection, preservation, conservation, everything it comes in. That is the miracle of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's supplications. Uti to Jawami al-Kalim. I have been given concise words with encyclopedic meaning, subhanallah. So that is the dua you should make for yourself, for your children, your spouses, and the entire ummah and muslimah.
Mufti Sahib, a very common question, and this question and many others are saying they find it very difficult to remember the Dua-i Qunut. Please advise if they can read Rabbanas, Mufti Sahib.
Remember, regarding Qunut, you can do the following. Number one is that you read Rabbana Atina Fid Dunya Hasana Wa Fil Akhirati Hasanata Wa Qina Adhab An-Nar. So that is totally permissible. You just read this one dua, chapter 2, verse 201. And remember, if you ask the Hanafi ulama for Qunut, Allahumma inna nasta'inuka till the end, and people say, where's the dalil for this? Open the marasil. The dalil means evidence, proof. Open the Imam Abu Dawood's marasil, you will find it there. Then if you read the dua, the Shafi's, Ambali's and Amu's, Allahumma hadina fiman hadait, wa afina fiman afait, wa tawallana fiman tawallait. So you read that, you know, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu warda, he was a genius. Subhanallah, in his witr and so forth, many a time he used to combine both these duas. Open Anwarul Masalik, you will find it there. Marwiyun an Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, innahu jama'a baynahuma. He used to combine both the kunus. I do that also many a time. When we have time, try and practice on every hadith. They ask Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, or Imam Ahmad, hey, you are the Imam of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, how you remembered all these hadiths? He say, every hadith that I practice on, every hadith I knew, I know is authentic, I practice on it. So in that way, I remember it also. So subhanallah, but you must know what you are doing. It's not for harkas, wanakas, every Tom, Dick and Harry that. So you must remember that. So if you learn both the du'as, so the du'a of Allahumma dina fi man hadait is mentioned by intermediary authentic hadith, and the Rawi reported Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, the Nawasa, the beloved Sibtu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved grandson, and Allahumma dina fi man hadait, and Allahumma inna nasta'inuka. So if you, O Muslim, combine the two, excellent, and remember the dua which we taught you and you learnt also from other ulama, a'udhu bi afwika min iqabik, wa a'udhu bi ridaka min sakhatik, wa a'udhu bika mink la uhsi thanan alayk, and takama athnait ala nafsik. That dua also is authentic. Open Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read it in the ending of the dua of witr. Therefore, when you hear the imams of the Haramain Sharifain, you will find normally when they make the dua in witr, then they read that right in the ending, because it is authentic hadith.
Jazakallah khairan to Mufti Sahib for that. Well, to you, the esteemed listeners listening to us locally, nationally, we would like to inform you that the Decoders Markaz Sahaba Decoders available at 189 West Road, Overport in Durban. Our landline number during office hours is 031-001-3332. And the Mufti Sahib will tell you further about the decoders for Lanesia and surrounding areas, as well as Northern Natal, and the cost of it as well. Mufti Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, the brothers, sisters, listeners who want to purchase decoders, we have stocks everywhere with Allah's help and mercy in Durban. Hafiz Wadi just gave you the number. Tomorrow after 8 o'clock you can contact our brother Yusuf Mehter, our brother Dawood Monli, Mona Khalid Yaqub, 031-001-3332. And second one will be our number here in Lanesia, Johannesburg. So 011-854-2990, 011-854-2990. 0. And that is our brother Suleiman Esop will be here after 8, inshallah. You contact him. So in Johannesburg or in Durban or in between in Ladysmith, our respected Mo Salim Karim in Ladysmith. So for those of you Northern Natal, Newcastle, Ladysmith, Dundee, Weenan, and so forth. So mashallah, you contact Mo Salim Karim. He also has stocks. And it's 600 then each. And if you want to purchase a whole box, there are 10 units, then it's 5,000 rand. So you can buy it, give it away to whoever you want to, or you want, we must give it, then inshallah, we will give some to the Muslims and some to non-Muslims who want it, mashallah, but for some reason they can't afford it. And maybe, inshallah, Allah wants they embrace Islam. All that will go into your hisab and your account, mashallah. So let us, inshallah, make this Ramadan 1442 a special Ramadan, where we become an asset to humanity and society. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.
Ameen. Also, the decoders are available at IG Hussein's in Overport, where you can purchase the decoders from them as well. Well, after the break, we continue with the Q&A.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.